right. Thank you so much for taking a minute to listen to this podcast. We have been going through a series on growing and maturing in the Christian faith over the last month or so in our evening service, and I want to share a little bit of that with you on this podcast, and I'll probably have a couple of more podcasts along the same lines in the future. But I think it's important for us as Christians to understand what our responsibility is as far as our growth is concerned. Now, while we might put ourselves under good, sound biblical preaching and teaching, we ought to be also diligent in our own areas of study or Christian disciplines. That is to say, outside of the church environment, we should be making every effort to grow in our knowledge of things concerning God and our faith. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 2, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." And that seems to be commonplace today in many denominations, unfortunately, and we see the results of that in falling away in many churches, and also the digression in our culture morally and spiritually. Now, while you might have a zeal for God, that doesn't necessarily make a thing right. You can have a lot of zeal about religion, but actually know very little about religion. You'd become nothing more than a spiritual dilettante. Now, Bana and other data researchers show statistically that Bible reading, the belief in the veracity of the Bible, church attendance, and ministry work is on the decline. Now, Legionnaire Ministries, they do a lot of research on these types of things, and they've contributed some really helpful information, really examining the state of theology in the United States. And based on an interview conducted in 2014 and 2016 with over 3,000 Americans, it showed the state, basically, of theology or the population here in America in its understanding of Christianity, or biblical Christianity. Now, here's an example, and I quote, "Overall, U.S. adults appear to have a superficial attachment to well-known Christian beliefs. For example, a majority agree that Jesus died on the cross for sin and that he rose from the dead. But Christianity is more than just that. There's a body of knowledge or a body of theology that is associated with that." Then he goes on to say, "However, they rejected the Bible's teaching on, number one, the gravity of man's sin, two, the importance of the church's gathering together for worship, and three, the Holy Spirit." They said, for example, more than two-thirds, 69% of Americans, disagree that the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation, and 58% strongly disagree. Legionnaire finds this alarming. The next one, a majority of U.S. adults, 58%, said that worshiping alone or with one's family is a valid replacement for regularly attending church. Only 30% disagree. A majority of U.S. adults, 59%, say that the Holy Spirit is a force, not a personal thing. And by the way, the JWs, the Jehovah's Witnesses, or the Russellites teach the very same thing. Now, here's another part of that survey where they said 52% of the people thought that most people are basically good. 51% said God accepts the worship of all religions, and 78% out of 3,000 said that Jesus was the first and greatest being created by God the Father. These beliefs and many others are contrary to historic Christian faith. It goes contrary to what the Bible teaches regarding those areas of doctrine and theology. Now, one can easily infer from this that the basic knowledge which would form the foundation for a sound Christian walk would be compromised. In other words, there's a domino effect. Once those pieces are undermined, then other things will be as well. The other aspect of this that is not brought up a lot is this, that people tend to place way too much focus on experience, how they feel about a thing. Now, our faith is not built on our feelings or experience. And that's what we got to be careful. I feel saved. It feels right. Your feelings are part of your flesh, and that can change from day to day. And then on the other side of things, as far as salvation is concerned, this is a matter that I've run into since I've been saved 25 years. and I'm constantly running into it, and that's the doctrine of eternal security. This is constantly under fire by those who are sitting under false teachers, who have a bad study habits as far as the Bible is concerned. Now, I've heard this time and again. Many fear that God's going to take that gift of salvation away. Many are walking, you know, each and every day under that cloud of doubt and fear and anxiety that they could do something or say something and God would just take it all away. And I've even met some that believe that God could take it away right on the deathbed. So if you're not faithful right up to the moment that you die, God could just pull that gift away from you. And then there are others that are fearful of blaspheme against the Holy Ghost and so forth. Listen, Jesus Christ died on the cross and set us free so we wouldn't have to be under that burden. Now, I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 4. And he said this in verse number 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So there are three things basically that are going on here. You've got the perfecting of the saints, the completeness as far as your growth, your sanctification is concerned. You also have the work of the ministry. Now, how could we effectively do the ministry that God has called us to do if we don't have the right information or the right knowledge? And then, of course, the edifying of the body of Christ. If the Bible's not preached, if it's not preeminent in the pulpit and teaching ministry in the local New Testament church, then all of these areas will be adversely affected. And we can see that happening today. There is a false gospel, this false evangelism that is being promoted out there, that's being actually tolerated by a lot of different denominations. And I'm not picking on any one particular group. They've just pretty much gone off the rails in so many different areas. But as a child of God, we have a responsibility to grow and to be stable in our walk with the Lord and our understanding of doctrine and its application. So in other words, it's one thing to know doctrine, but it's an entirely different thing to take what you know and apply it to your life. Now, it goes on to say in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, right? By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And certainly one thing that needs to be done today is there needs to be a solid basis as far as doctrine is concerned, and that needs to be preached and taught in the local church setting. And then as believers, we need to take it upon ourselves the rest of the time to study our Bibles, to read our Bibles. And I've said this to the folks here at the church, take the book of Romans and study out all the soteriological terms in the book of Romans. I think there's between 25 and 30 of them just in Romans alone. Well, study those things out and, you know, own them, take ownership of them, and find encouragement and comfort in those doctrines like justification, propitiation, predestination, election, salvation, and so forth. Those are wonderful things. Now, our main text today is in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, and the Bible says, beginning in verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And verse number 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the key things here is knowledge. Knowledge is important for your sustainability as a Christian. Number two, it's important for your growth and sanctification as a Christian. What could we do for Christ, in Christ? What could we do as far as our personal holiness or piety is concerned? What could we do as far as contending with error is concerned if we did not have a sound base of knowledge, a body of knowledge, a systematic understanding of the Bible and its doctrines? Keep in mind, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So you'll notice here that he says in verse number 5, and besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So the first thing you see here is diligence. Diligence. And in other words, we cannot become slack in our walk with God. We cannot let up for even a second. It's not just a Sunday thing or a midweek service thing. You know, this is a 7 day a week type of thing. We need to be diligent. We need to be careful. We need to pay attention. You know, diligence is the opposite of negligence. And so we want to be focused on our spiritual life and seek ways to improve, to grow, to mature as Christians. Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so there's a diligence there in seeking after God. When was the last time you fellowshiped with God? When was the last time you spent some time in the Bible or spent some time in prayer? When was the last time you just praised God and thank him for being the great God that he is? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to guard what goes into the heart. You know, the Bible says over there in Peter that we're to sanctify the Lord thy God in our hearts. And so as we continue to sanctify God in our hearts, all those other things that would compete with God will be pushed out. You know, Romans 12 says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Guarding our hearts with all diligence, guarding what we see, guarding what we hear, guarding what we read. We need to be diligent. We need to cultivate our virtues. He said, add with all diligence, add, meaning we shouldn't rest, but rather strive to add to those areas in our life, whether they're weak or they're strong. We should never assume that we have arrived at any place and any virtue in our walk with God. We should always be seeking ways to improve, to build upon, and to strengthen those areas. And I believe that we ought to be praying and asking the Lord to show us where those weak areas are in our life. Now, you see, the first thing he talks about here is virtue. And virtue just simply means moral courage or manly strength, bravery, a daring spirit. In other words, to be able to take a strong stand in the face of opposition. And living as a Christian today with Christian values, that can certainly bring a lot of flack your way. As Christians, we're called upon to walk a certain way. We're to have a certain type of testimony. And we are to be distinct from those in the world, you know, sanctified and separate from those of the world. We cannot continue to, you know, blend in with the world or, you know, to kind of go in as undercover Christians, so to speak. We have to stand out. We have to stand out as far as our convictions are concerned on morals and spiritual matters and even eternal matters. And that's another area that seems to be, you know, increasing in its weakness. You know, are men saved through the Lord Jesus Christ or not? You know, it seems today a lot of people are entertaining other areas or other options as far as salvation is concerned. The Bible's pretty clear, and Jesus said it himself in John 14:6, that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. The next thing we see that we need to add is knowledge, and because we talked about that a little bit earlier, but this means biblical understanding of God, salvation, eschatology, the study of man, man's depravity, destination, man's need. We also need to have knowledge of the Christian life and service. And for example, our understanding or our perception of God is going to change the way we live. Now, we cannot allow the world or the culture to define who God is for us. We must put that aside and study out the Bible. Find out what the Bible says about God, about his character, his nature, his holiness, his righteousness, his judgment, his wrath, and so forth, his mercy and love. Find out what the Bible says about those things and seek ways to conform to that image. You know, the Bible says, be ye holy as God is holy. So there's the question, well, what does that mean? You know, the holiness of God, how does that relate to me? And how can I improve my life with this information from the Bible? So we need to increase in our knowledge. It's certainly going to help us be stable in our walk with the Lord. We're not going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, we're going to be pretty much settled on that matter. Temperance. And the root meaning of temperance is power over oneself. In other words, you've got to have self-control. And we certainly could use a little more self-control. There are some wild extremes within Christianity that need to be brought under control, for sure. The world looks on with awe and wonder at some of the things they see happening within the Christian churches all over America. And so we've got to regulate our passions and keep them under control, to be temperate. And the Bible does talk a lot about being temperate. Now we need to have patience. Now patience carries with it the idea of endurance, particularly under trials. And, you know, you might be going through something, maybe financial, maybe physical, maybe you're having, you know, some valleys in your marriage, maybe your workplaces, you know, things are happening there, and you're just working through all of that and being patient. And interesting thing about patience is it will continue to get stronger as life goes on, because you inevitably have to learn those lessons, those trials and tribulations that come your way, and then you move on basically to the next one. So it continues to grow, and you continue to be strengthened in that regard. The next thing is godliness. And that's just simply a religious life, a careful observance of, you know, God's commands. You know, what does the New Testament say about how we're to live? You know, what does the Bible say about righteousness and walking righteously and walking circumspectly and walking in love? What does the Bible say about, you know, taking care of and guarding our own spiritual life as believers and avoiding sin, you know, living sanctified and separating from those things that would, you know, blemish our testimony? And we certainly don't want to do that. We don't want to add, you know, more fire to the problem that's already coming up against Christianity today with regards to the lost people. We don't want any more fuel for that fire, as the expression goes. So we want to be careful and guard our Christian testimony, and that requires us to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, we see brotherly kindness. And kindness and love towards the brethren, regardless of their station in life, is expected of Christians. We ought to be kind one toward another. You know, we're even told to be kind to our neighbors, and they may not even be saved. You know, think about, I always challenge people to think about it this way. Think about it in terms of your life with Christ. I mean, how kind is Jesus Christ to you? How loving and merciful is Jesus Christ to you in spite of your many flaws, your many shortcomings, and dare I say, sins in your own life? And so we need to reciprocate that to our brothers and sisters in the Lord and be kind. Now, charity is the last one mentioned here, and we're not talking about almsgiving, but love. And there is to be a unique love that Christians have one toward another. I mean, after all, we do worship a common Savior, and we believe in a common book. We have a common salvation. We have a common hope and destiny. And also, we all got saved the same way. Nobody got saved any differently. It's through Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, it's pretty clear. There's the gospel. There's salvation, and so forth. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1 says, "Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." And, of course, you can dovetail that in with Corinthians chapter 13 as well. So you can see there's a love that we're to have one toward another, and Christ says that we're to love one another as he has loved us. So we have the perfect example in the Lord Jesus Christ in that regard. And so then we close out with the last part of this, and that's verse number 8. And the text says, "For if these things be in you," and of course that's everything that I just spoke about, "if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Abound. It shows your diligence, as fruit will undoubtedly be visible in your life. In other words, if that base is continuing to be cultivated by you, it will inevitably show itself. It will manifest itself as a believer, and it will show you have a knowledge of Christ. Remember now, we're to be Christ-like. You know, we're to be conformed to the image of Christ, and so these are some things that would put us right in that category if we're being obedient and cultivating these specific areas. And somebody once said, knowledge is the mother of obedience, and obedience the nurse of knowledge. The more you practice what you know, the more shall you know what to practice. Knowledge becomes critical. And nearly every message that I preached over the last month or so on Christian maturity, knowledge found its way into the message. So knowledge is key. And so, one, definitely read your Bible. Try to read your Bible every day. Two, study your Bible. And there's a difference. You know, read your Bible, spend 20 minutes or so reading the Bible, but then study the Bible. Study the books of the Bible, study the characters of the Bible, study the doctrinal terms in the Bible. You know, grapple with some of those things, take ownership of them, and make application in your life. You know, find a way to grow and improve in these areas. You know, Christianity is a spiritual discipline, and there are many factors that, you know, get put into that. And so we got to keep that in mind as we go forward. Of course, your regular church attendance, all of that helps as you grow in grace and in knowledge. And Paul, again, he talked about when he was child, he spake as a child, he understood it as a child, but when he became a man, he put away childish things. And so there is an expectation for spiritual maturity in Christians. You know, we're not to continue as babes in Christ. We are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As it says right here, and I'll read it real quick and then I'll close it out. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and he says, and I'll begin verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So there it is. There it is. If you don't have a solid knowledge of Jesus Christ, then it's going to be easier for you to be led away by the error of the wicked. And you're going to fall from your own steadfastness. We need vigorous Christianity to return to America. And it's only going to return when we get back to preaching the Bible, get back to preaching sound doctrine, and encouraging the saints of God to do likewise, to study their Bible, study doctrine, to grow in these areas, and these virtues that I just mentioned, to really make an effort, be diligent about it, and really seek ways to improve in those areas that are weak in your life. And even those areas that are stronger, seek ways to make them even stronger. Why not? Why not live your best life for Christ now? All right, be sure to check back for other podcasts and so forth. Take care, and the Lord bless you.